Roundtable Podcasts, underwritten by Proctors, the Capital Region's premier performing arts center featuring the best in entertainment from Broadway and around the globe. Proctors.org.
Good morning and welcome back to the Roundtable. We're very happy to once again have our Ideas Matter segment, Ideas Matter, checking in with the public humanities. It's our chance to see what the humanities councils in our seven-state region are up to and discuss the important ideas and why they do indeed matter. This morning, we welcome the folks from Mass Humanities to discuss Frankenstein, and Linda McInerney joins us as Artistic Director of Old Deerfield Productions. Linda's been creating, producing, and directing performing arts in the Valley for 30 years. She's commissioned a new work every year for the last 10. In 2013, she commissioned a new theatrical adaptation of Mary Shelley's Frankenstein that will be offered at the Springfield Museums, thanks to Mass Humanities, on September 26th and 27th. And it's a great pleasure to welcome Linda to the roundtable. Thank you very much for being with us, Linda McInerney. I appreciate it.
It is my delight, Joe. How are you today?
Well, I am fine. Thank you very much for being with us. It's very nice to talk to you. First of all, when we're talking about the Humanities Councils and what we do, and you as an artistic director of a theater organization, what does it allow you to do when you can commission a work and an adaptation and bring something that's very specific to the region?
Well, first of all, I do want to say thank you so much to Mass Humanities. They've been so supportive for my work over the years and have just been so helpful in so many ways. So what it does for me to be able to commission a new work, I think what I would say is that because I believe in work that addresses challenges that we face here and now, it allows me the opportunity to really engage the public in these ideas and stir the pot and, you know, shake things up and allows the time, because it really is a sort of slow cooking kind of a project. It takes time to build something like this, and a support of Mass Humanities really lets that happen in the right way.
So what led you to Frankenstein and this timeless story?
Well, I tell you, I've been digging around for something like this for a really long time. What's been on my personal mind, and I'm probably on a lot of your listeners' minds, is the state that we're in now in terms of climate change, in terms of the health of our people, in terms of violence against women, in terms of loss of ecosystems. I mean, there's so much that's going on. We're in such a shifting point that if we don't change our behavior and if we don't change the way we are in the world, we might not be around for that much longer. And in my job as a theater creator, it's my job to address those ideas and those problems. And so honestly, I was looking for about a year, Joe, digging around trying to find the right story, and I reread the novel and I was blown away at the prescience of it, at the modernity of it, at how she could never have even imagined how true her story would be. And once that idea and that story really grabbed me, and this idea of a cautionary tale that's also exciting and thrilling and you just can't take your eyes off of this sort of train wreck happening, once I got that idea, I knew it was the right idea, and then it was a matter of bringing all the right people together, and it became so apparent that the right person to work with on this long-term project was Lyndall Hart, who is a wonderful writer and a wonderful performer, and he and I have been working intimately on this project that we love so much for about 2 years.
So talk about how this adaptation differs. Obviously, there are many stage adaptations of Frankenstein, but you were looking for something different.
Yes, I was. And it's going to sound like I've got different things going on, but believe it or not, they all tie together. One of the things that was most important to me was to be true to the novel in some kind of way, because in addition to being this exquisite cautionary tale, I wanted to highlight Mary Shelley as a writer. She is just, talk about an underserved artist. I mean, nobody even believed that she wrote this story back in the day when she was only 18 years old, and she lived a lifetime of underappreciation. And so one of the things that I wanted to do was stay on some artistic level very true to the story. So what we've done is we've kept it in the time frame. Lindell has exquisitely honed the language so that it is very accessible, yet you get a sense that you are in Mary Shelley's world that she crafted. So there's one thing. Then there's another thing. I wanted to be way out of the box. I wanted to blast it through in a different way that no one's ever seen before. There are only three characters in this play. There is one character who is the creature through whose experience we experience the entire. The story is shared with us. And then there is a second actor played by Colin Allen. He plays Victor Frankenstein. He plays little William, the brother of Victor, who's murdered by the creature in his heartbreak. He plays DeLacy, who is the old man who teaches the creature how to read and how he could love, but dies in his arms. So he plays William, he plays the creature, and he plays Victor. Mary Shelley is played by a wonderful actor called Jane Williams. Mm. And she's the manipulator. She's the writer. She crafts the story. And she's the one who holds the handheld video camera. And at the same time, she plays Elizabeth, who is the fiancée of Victor, who also loses her life at the hand of the creature. And that is because Mary Shelley really was a victim of her own circumstances, and as you read her novel, you wonder, how is it that, you know, the men could be so powerful in this novel and the women could be so passive, and yet she was, you know, the daughter of the first feminist, she wrote this amazing novel, you know, but yet she didn't have the strength, or the times didn't allow her to have the strength to be the strong woman that she could have been. And then there's this whole other piece, which is a cradling that I imagined, which is to have this outrageous video projection design done, created by my friend Florian Changa, who is from Eastern Europe, who we flew over here through another grant to build this incredibly modern and shocking and unlike anything you've ever seen, cutting-edge video projection design that sort of holds the story in a nest of modernity. So those are sort of the ideas that I wanted to weave together. So you've got a turn of the previous century's story wrapped in a modern, crazy video design done in an avant-garde way with three performers. How's that? Did I say that all right?
Absolutely. You get that? Very nicely done. So, but there's more. The cool thing about this is that you also have these performances have related educational programs and yes. post-performance talks, all of these supported also by Mass Humanities. And give us an idea of some of the things that you will be doing around the centerpiece, yes. which, of course, is the performance.
So these wonderful education programs, we just completed one yesterday. Lindell and I were at Amherst High School, and we taught a whole workshop on creating. Actually, the thing that I love about Mass Humanities and this opportunity is that we have been able to craft an education program completely tailored to the needs and the desires of the teachers that we've been working with. So the Amherst High School program yesterday was all about adapting literature to become art and how to work with material to turn it into something creative that is of meaning to you. So we worked with these young people, and then we worked with different interpretations, I guess you would say, is various ways to interpret material. And Lyndall and I had this wonderful, wonderful time doing that. And then all of those young people will come free of charge, thanks to Mass Humanities, to the performance. So we've had two of those programs. I've got a couple more coming up right away, and so hopefully we'll have an audience filled with young people, which will be also great. Again, thanks to Mass Humanities for supporting that.
Really good stuff. So you do all of this. The performances September 26th and 27th. That seems a lot for 2 days.
I know, it's kind of crazy, but there's more.
Okay,
but
all
Joe, I hate to tell you, I have more to share.
All right, you're going to throw in steak knives.
The other piece is that thanks to Mass Humanities, we also have a humanist scholar who has helped me craft these education programs, and she's going to be presenting following the show on Friday the 26th, just after the show. She's going to be presenting, and her name is Emily Anthes, and she is amazing. She is a New York Times best-selling writer who wrote a book called Frankenstein's Cat.
Right.
And this is another idea that I love so much, which is she's going to be tying together the Frankensteinian aspects of the
nice.
Story with the Frankenization of what we do with animals today. Frankenstein's Cat is a series of case studies about the crazy things that science has done and can do with animals. For instance, one of the things that I talked to the kids about yesterday at Amherst High School is, did you know that you can go to Petco and for $5.99 you can purchase a glowing fish, a glow-in-the-dark goldfish that is genetically mutated for your delight? I mean, there are crazy things like this. And the title of the book, Frankenstein's Cat, it's because previously scientists figured out a way to create robotic appendages, and they worked on cats. And the thing, people do know this, but there's some amazing applications for veterans today, that you can use the electrical impulses of your brain and guide them to actually manipulate your appendage, your hand, your leg, and so that you can will your robotic arm to pick up your mug of coffee. So what we're doing, the Frankensteining of our world, is also astonishing, and we're adding on to the show on Friday night with Emily Anthes.
So much going on, and if people want to find out more information, they can. How do they get a hold of Old Deerfield Productions?
Super easy. Old Deerfield Productions. With an S on the end of productions,
yep.
.org. And it has all the information about the education programs, about the show. You can purchase tickets right there. Tickets are $20. You can get them at olddeerfieldproductions.org, or you can get them at the door. Totally simply, just come to the Davis Theater, which is in the Damore Art Building at Springfield Museums. The show starts at 7:30. Come a few minutes before, I'll be there, all dressed up and ready to play, and show people to their seats.
It is Old Deerfield Productions.org. The production will be performed the 26th and 27th of September. Linda McInerney, thank you very much for being with us. A great pleasure to have you on the program.
So fun, Joe. Thanks for all you do.
Thank you so
great.
Much. And to you.
Okay,
You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.